بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of the 14 Nawawi collection of hadiths, and we have reached hadith number 26. And in this hadith, which is narrated by Abi Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس تعدل بين اثنين صدقة وتعين الرجل في دابته فتحمله عليها أو ترفع له عليها متاعه صدقة والكلمة الطيبة صدقة وبكل خطوة تمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميت الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه, who said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is a sadaqa to be given for every joint of the human body, and for every day on which the sun rises there is a reward of a sadaqa. To act justly between two, or establish justice among people between two, is a sadaqa, and to is a charity, and to help a man with his mount, to help a man with his mount, lifting him onto it, or hoisting up his belongings onto it, is a charity. وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً, and a good word is a charity. وَبِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً, every step you take to the prayers is a charity. وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً, and removing a harmful thing from the road is a charity. This hadith is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and we begin inshallah ta'ala with the explanation. The term sulama means the joints. The term sulama means the joints. It's also said to mean the bones, and the meaning is the same, not different. Because the joint is a point of articulation of two bones, and each bone is separated from the other bone with a joint, and the joint is a point of articulation of two bones, a bone and gristle, or two gristles in any part of the human body, and they differ in shape and in strength. And this is from in many also other descriptions, and this is from the perfect ability of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The arm is not like the palm, and the fingers are not like the palm, each separated from the other bones, each thing separated from the other bones is distinguished in its own properties, and that's why on every joint there is sadaqah, it is charity. And in the hadith reported by Muslim, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy be upon him, that the sulama number, the joints number, is 360. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, everyone has been created with 360 joints. Whoever mentions Allah's greatness says, Allahu Akbar, praises Allah, extols Allah, and seeks forgiveness from Allah, and removes the stones from the path of the people, enjoins what is good and forbids evil to the amount of those 360 joints, he walks on the day of resurrection having distanced himself from the fire. And the contemporary modern medicine agrees with this, and this indicates that the Prophet ﷺ message is the truth. The total number of joints, according to modern science, is, number one, skull joints 86. Throat joints 6. Thorax joints, the thorax, 6, and the thorax joints 66. The spine and the pelvis joints 76. The upper limbs 32 times 2, 64. Lower limbs, 31 times 2, 62. Total number, therefore, of joints is 360. I'll repeat them. The skull joints, 86. The throat joints, 6. The thorax joints, 66. Spine and pelvis joints, 76. The upper limbs, 32 times 2, 64. The lower limbs, 31 times 2, 62. And so the total number of joints, 360. And the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said that the number of joints in the human body is 360. Although at that time it was impossible to know such information, because the joints, some of them are very small and hard to see with the observation of the naked eye. And the exact number of joints was not discovered until recent developments in the fields of anatomy and histology. So there was an exact mentioning of the number of joints 14 centuries ago, while in modern anatomy it came to assert the scientific fact only recently. Now, so there is on each joint to be given a charity. And on every day the sun, and for every day the sun rises, there is the reward of a charity. Kul yawm, each day, there is therefore on each part of our parts is a charity, meaning 360 in the day. So in the week we will have 2,520. But it is from the favors of Allah upon us that these charities are general, covering all means of nearness to Allah. So all means of nearness are to Allah are considered as charity. And therefore this is not difficult on the person. as long as each means of nearness is a charity, so the person can do that easily. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, تَعْدِلُ بَيْنَ اثْنَيْنِ صَدَقَةً. You establish justice between two people is a sadaqah. Either you act as a judge between them, or by reconciliating them. And reconciliating takes precedence if possible, except when it becomes clear that the ruling is for one of them, meaning the truth or the right is for one of them, clear. If that becomes clear, then reconciliation becomes forbidden. And this is maybe done by some justices, or rather by some judges, trying to reconcile while knowing that the truth is with one of them. And this is forbidden, because it will take the right of people from them. So therefore, establishing a justice between two people, either by reconciliation or by ruling for any one of them, is a charity. But if one knows the truth to be with one of them, or the right is clear that it is the right of one of them, then there is no reconciliation, but rather there must be a judgment with that which is the truth. Then the next thing is, وَتُعِينُ الرَّجُلَ فِي دَابَّتِهِ تَحْمِلُهُ عَلَيْهَا. To help a man with his mount, lifting him onto it. If he is unable to mount, then you help him and you put him on his mount. This is a charity. Or you take his luggage and his belongings and you put them for him. This is a charity. Then the next one mentioned in the hadith, وَالْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ صَدَقَةً. And the good word is a charity. Any good word is a charity, whether it is concerning the rights of Allah, like tasbih, saying Subhanallah, like takbir, saying Allahu Akbar, like tahleel, saying La ilaha illallah, or whether it is related to people's rights, like having good manners, is a sadaqah, is a charity. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, وَبِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ تَخْطُوهَا وَبِكُلِّ خُطْوَةٍ تَخْطُوهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَة. نعم. And this means, for every step you take to prayers is a charity, whether the distance is close or far. And if the person makes the ritual purification at home and goes for salah, nothing takes him out from his home except the intention for salah, then in every step he goes to salah, he walks to the salah, except that Allah raises him a degree higher and then removes a sin from him. So therefore he will earn two things. He will be lifted in the world to higher degrees, and sins will be removed from him. Some of the scholars consider that praiseworthy that the person walks and makes the steps close to each other on his way to the masjid. But this matter, making this mustahab praiseworthy, is not something in its right place or conclusion, and there is no dalil for that. There is no evidence for that, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he spoke about in every step you take to the prayers is a sadaqah, he did not say make your steps close to each other. And if this was something legally intended and required, then the Prophet ﷺ would have explained that and made it clear. So therefore the person walks normally, walks in the normal way. This is also like some people who say, it is praiseworthy for the one who enters the masjid to make intention to have i'tikaf, seclusion, for a while during his stay, so that in this case he will get the reward of waiting for the salah and for the i'tikaf. Like for example, someone goes to the mosque at 1 o'clock or in the first hour on the day of Jumu'ah. So they say that it's praiseworthy that he makes intention to have seclusion during his stay, so that he gets the reward of i'tikaf and also the reward of waiting for the salah. And this is not a proper conclusion, and there it is even incorrect, because had this been something praiseworthy and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and legalized in Islam, then the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would have made that clear, and he would have explained the rewards of seclusion and etc. And he didn't say make intention for i'tikaf the time you are staying in the masjid waiting for the salah. These things are considered praiseworthy by the ulama, by some of the ulama. However, making something praiseworthy and recommended, and a person takes it as a means of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while there is no basis for it, is considered bid'ah, an innovation, and it is not correct. Secondly, the seclusion, the legal seclusion required from the person is that which is to be done during the last 10 days of Ramadan only. So one cannot say for people go and make i'tikaf at any time, except of course during these 10. And the evidence for this is that the Prophet ﷺ made the seclusion, i'tikaf, in the first 10 of Ramadan, the first 10 days of Ramadan, seeking the night of pre-decree. Then he did that in the middle 10. Then he was told that the night of the pre-decree, the night of decree, is in the last 10. So he made seclusion in the last 10. And this is reported by Bukhari and Muslim. And he did not return to do seclusions in the first 10 or the middle 10 of the in the next year of in the Ramadan of the next year, you know, although he did it before. So this indicates that the i'tikaf is not legal in other than the last 10 days of Ramadan. And also that the reason for i'tikaf is seeking and observing the night of Al-Qadr, the night of decree. And the night of decree is in the last 10 of Ramadan, last 10 days or 10 nights of Ramadan. So therefore, the worships are legally assigned and specified. And the worships the sayings and actions cannot be considered as worships except if they agree with the Sharia, unless they agree with the Sharia in 6 matters which we discussed earlier. We discussed this earlier in the beginning of our discussion on the 40 Nawawi hadith. Then the Prophet ﷺ said in the last thing, وَتُمِيتُ الْأَذَى عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ صَدَقَةً, and removing a harmful thing from the road is a charity. Harmful things which could harm people in their ways, stones, bricks, sharp things, glass and waste, anything which could be harmful, if that is removed, then this is considered sadaqah. This is considered sadaqah. And at the end of the hadith, also in another narration, and sufficient from all of this, sufficient for all of this that have been mentioned as sadaqah, is 2 rak'ah of duha, is to offer 2 rak'ah of duha. And we will talk about that. The benefits of this hadith. First benefit. The obligation to perform a charity on each individual. On every day the sun comes up. And this is a must. And this is directed as follows. Every person, each morning, he wakes up safe, then he must give thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he is safe in his hand, safe in his arm, safe in his leg, in his thigh, in each part of him where there is a favor from Allah upon him, then he should give thanks to Allah. Now if someone says, this could be something difficult to enumerate, the answer, yes, it is affirmed from the Prophet ﷺ that he said, sufficient for all of that is, as a substitute, is rak'atan yarka'ahuma min al-duha, is to offer 2 rak'ah in duha time. This is reported by Abu Dawood. So, if these are done, then the rest would be optional and voluntary. And then we take from this narration of the 2 rak'ahs of duha that one should really be continuous on them, because they come as substitute for these charities, substituting for the 360 required. And this is the preponderating opinion, that it is a sunnah to be continuously performing these 2 rak'ah of duha. And the timing for the rak'ahs of duha is from the time when the sun rises, as we see it by our sight, until before zawal. And this means like 20 minutes after the sunrise until about 10 or 5 minutes before zawal. And the closer the timing to the end of the period, the better. And the least of the 2 duha rak'ah is to offer 2. The least is 2, and there is no limit for the maximum. So a person can pray as much as he wishes in this period, specified. From the time of sunrise, after the sun rises, about 20 minutes, until before the zenith, about 10-15 minutes before the zenith time. The second benefit is that what's apparent from the hadith is that the sun is the one that rotates around the earth, and then the day comes to replace the night. This is evident from what is apparently, this is evident from the saying, تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ. Every day the sun rises or comes up. And this is clear that the movement is the movement of the sun. And this is also indicated by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, chapter 18, verse 17. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينَ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And you might see the sun, and you might have seen the sun when it rose, declining to the right from their cave, and when it set, turning away from them to the left while they lay in the midst of the cave. Four actions are adjoined to the sun linguistically here, or added to the sun. Four actions. When it rose, declining, and the setting, turning away. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related from Sulaiman alayhi salam in Surah Sad, verse 32, 38. قال الله تعالى about Sulaiman, إني أحببت حب الخير عن ذكر ربي حتى توارت بالحجاب. And he said, alas, I did love the good, these horses, instead of remembering my Lord, till the time was over and the sun had hidden in the hijab, meaning hidden in the hijab here is the earth. Here it refers to the earth. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to Abi Dharr radiallahu anhu, when the at the time of sunset, he said, Atadri ayna tadhab? Do you know where it goes? Where it goes? So he responded, Allah and His Messenger knows best. So therefore he added the going to the sun, and this is a movement. This is indicating that it moves. So after this, would it be possible then for someone to come and say that the earth is the one that revolves, and through its revolution or revolving, then we have the alternation of the day and the night? We say that this is not possible except that when we have, except when we have a decisive affirmation whereby upon it we can change, or we can interpret the apparent of the text to a meaning which agrees with reality, to a meaning that agrees with reality. So if this is affirmed, then we know that the Quran and the textual proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah are not in opposition with al-waqi', with the realities. However, how can then we understand, if this is to be affirmed, if this is to be affirmed, then how can we interpret these actions, which indicate their obvious meaning, indicates their apparent meaning, indicates that the sun is the one which revolves and moves? Then we can say, yes, the sun comes up as we see it by our sight. For example, you are standing on a roof or out in the wild. You see the sun, you see the sun coming up, rises, and it goes up as you see it by your eye. So this would be the interpretation. This is if it becomes decisively and physically proven that the alternation of the day and the night is a consequence of the rotation of the earth, and this is not decisively reached to up till now. So therefore we keep the texts as they are, we take them on their apparent meaning. Now, if someone says, how could it be then imagined that the big object revolves around the small object. Because if you relate the sun or relate the earth to the sun, then it's like nothing, it's very small. We say, the one who turns the big around the small is Allah Azza wa Jal. And He is able to do all things. This is what we believe regarding this matter. Now, if someone then still says, is the evidence decisive? What we are talking about now concerning the movement of the sun. Is the evidence that we are discussing now, is it decisive? The answer, الدلالة ليست قطعية. The evidence is not certain. Rather, ظني. Rather, speculative. What is the meaning of speculative? Meaning that which requires investigation and proof. So this is a ظني, speculative indication. And we are to work according to the speculative evidence, which is what is apparent from the text until it is opposed by a دليل قطعي, by a decisively certain proof. And we cannot say, it's not permissible to say that the indication of the verse and the text for the rotation of the sun around the earth is certain. Because there could come a time where we would be certain that the alternation of the day and the night is a result of the revolution of the earth. And then we will have impossibilities here. If we would have two dalils which are certain for the same thing and are opposing, this would be impossible, because their opposition would indicate the elimination of one of them. Someone may take, therefore, we take this as we mentioned earlier, that until now we did not reach the certain decisive proof that the alternation of the day and the night is as a result of the rotation of the earth, not due to the rotation of the sun. The third benefit. The merits of establishing justice between people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala incited us to do reconciliation. Take for example in Surah An-Nisa chapter 4 verse 128, قال الله تعالى وَإِنِ امْرَأَةٌ خَافَتْ مِنْ بَعْلِهَا نُشُوزًا أَوْ إِعْرَاضًا فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِمَا أَنْ يُصْلِحَا بَيْنَهُمَا صُلْحًا وَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحَّ. فَالصُلْحُ خَيْرٌ. So reconciliation is good, is a good matter. And if a woman fears cruelty or desertion on her husband's part, there is no sin on them both if they make terms of peace between themselves, and make peace is better. There is the point of evidence. This is meritual, therefore it's a meritual matter to make peace and reconciliation. And to have justice between two people in quarrel or in dispute, to make justice in the ruling is an obligation. The fourth benefit, inciting giving help to the brothers, one another. Because this help is a sadaqah. Whether in the example which the Prophet ﷺ gave or in any other case. In the example which he gave is to give him help in terms of his mounting his mount or giving his putting his luggage there and fixing it for him. But there are many, many other examples. So if you, for example, you find someone on the road and he asks you to carry him to his town and you take him, then in this case, this is, you know, takes precedence as a sadaqah. But is it really an obligation to take him with you or not? The answer, if he is in a situation which could bring his destruction and that you feel safe regarding him, then in this case it's an obligation to carry him with you to save him from destruction. And the destruction, it's either because this is a deserted area, almost no one coming there, or there could be bandits or robbers on the way who may end up finishing this person. But if, on the other hand, that you don't regard this person as someone safe to be with, then it is not binding upon you to carry him with you. Like, for example, if you fear that he may kill you or redirect your destination to another by force, then in this case, you do not, it's not binding upon you to take him, because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا ضَرَرَ وَلَا ضِرَارَ. There is no harm and there is no reciprocation of harm. So therefore the hadith means to help one another from the Muslims, not in this specific example only, but in every other case. And the more your brother is in need, then your help would be better. And the more it is beneficial for your brother, then the more it will be better. But this does not mean that you help your brother, for example, in terms of in his exams or in his tests to get to the correct answer. This is treachery and treason, rather, and forbidden. Because if you do so, then you will be helping him on that which is evil. The fifth benefit, is inciting to do or to say the good word. قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام والكلمة الطيبة صدقة. And the good word is a صدقة. And there isn't anything more good than the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. كل كلمة في القرآن فهي صدقة. Every word in the Quran is a صدقة. And the word or the good word could be in its style and in its relevance and the manner it is said, and in any other place, in any other situations. If you see someone and you talk to him in a good way, like for example, Assalamu alaykum, Hayyakum Allah, Sabahakum Allah bil khair, may Allah greet you with good, and this morning, and the like. These are good words. However, there is a condition that it shouldn't become kind of boring. It shouldn't become like boring. Yani, you don't have to stay with him for a while, for a certain period of time, repeating these things to him. This will tend not to be good. For each situation, there is its proper handling and proper maintenance. So the most important thing to remember is that كُلُّ كَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٍ. Every good word is a صَدَقَةٍ. The sixth benefit is that removing harmful objects from the way is a صَدَقَةٍ. And the opposite is true. Putting harmful objects in the way is a crime and something harmful. And then there is another benefit, a sub-benefit here. There is a sub-benefit. And if putting physical harm in one's way is forbidden, and if also taking out, removing physical harm from one's way is considered as sadaqah, then also removing the intangible harm is more profound. And this goes by exposing innovations and evil matters and the like those evil practices and immoral actions from fornications and illegal sexual relations, alcoholic beverages and smoking and the like, making these matters clear as to their evil so that people can stay away from them. This is considered sadaqah. And this is greater than the mere removal of physical harm from the road. And from also that is from the removal of harm, which is of the from the intangible road, is the execution and the people who call for evil. And this is not left for the individual Muslims. This is not for the individual Muslims. This is not for us. This is for the Muslim leader. And the seventh point of benefit is كُلُّ مَا يُقَرِّبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Everything which draws the person nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from worships and doing good to people, then this is sadaqah. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith, these are examples. And all success is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this brings the end of the discussion on this hadith. Hadith number 26 from the collection of Imam al-Nawawi, known as the 40 Nawawi Hadith. والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.